Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
We're so glad to be with you once again, wherever you are, all over the world. And I'm, as the reports come in, as you're checking us out on the website, and we see where we're being listened to, it's really astounding to me the thousands of hits that we've had on this website from almost every known country that I've ever heard of, probably, and then some that are listening to this program. And I believe, of course, God has raised it up because he wants you to know we have his word today. And that's what our program is all about. God has given us his word, and we call it the King James Bible, but it's really, it's the Word of God, and it's identified these days by that name. And we will talk about that more as we get into the program. But we have some interesting things to talk about today. And once again, the prophecies written thousands of years ago, put there by Almighty God, are in the news again today. And after our scientist in residence gives his report, Brother Al Davis here, on science in the Bible, then we'll talk about that, prophecy in the news, and then some words of the Lord to preachers today about the modern counterfeits in the Bible. And so now we give it to Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and I appreciate it. And again, reminder to people listening that you can go to the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can listen to past programs there. You can find out more about Bruce Musselman there. And there's some other materials that are linked to there and that you can find and help you understand the issue of Bible translations and the importance of that, as well as a pamphlet that Bruce wrote some years ago that kind of got him going down this path called Correcting the King James Bible. And you can find all that at whereisgodsword.com. You can even listen to Bruce preach on there and sing on there. So there's a lot of that. Whereisgodsword.com. And wanted to mention something today, Bruce, and it was kind of breezy here these past several days. It seems like, you know, this time of year when different fronts come through and the wind comes with it. And I was reading the other day in Psalm 107, and in there's a passage starting in verse number 23 that says, "They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into their or unto their desired haven." And this is a great passage here. I was reading this, and it's a great passage on the protection of the Lord there and his control over the wind and the waves and all that. But I got to thinking there in verse 25 where it says, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths." And you think about that, what that's saying there, the waves. If you ever have been out on the water, out on Lake Erie, or maybe just around a small pond or something like that, and on a windy day, you see a lot more waves than you do normally. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that the wind lifts up those waves, and as the water blows across as the wind blows across the surface of the water, what happens is the friction between the air and the water, it causes the wind to lift up waves. And you say, well, yeah, but they're just little waves. Well, if you've been in Lake Erie, sometimes when the storm's coming through, you'll see great big waves. You know, sometimes we've all seen the pictures on the news where parts of the shoreway have been closed down here on the east side of Cleveland, where the waves are being whipped up by the wind and they're crashing against the rocks and spraying over top of the highway. And I can remember staying in a small hotel in Penzance, England, and it was right across the street from the ocean, or from the water, the English Channel, and it was a stormy night, and the waves were whipping up so high, they were coming across the seawall, the surf was blowing and hitting the windows of the hotel, and when my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands, I can remember seeing some big waves coming through, and sometimes there'd be a hurricane or a tropical storm going off in the distance, and you would see these huge waves on the horizon. There was an island that we could see, and sometimes the waves from our perspective looked as big as the island. That was kind of an optical illusion, but they were big. Sometimes waves would get 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 feet tall. They talk about rogue waves that are absolutely huge, and it's because of the wind lifting up the water as the wind blows across it. And it's interesting. If you can actually see another instance here, if you have a stream of water, a little thin stream of water coming out of your water faucet, and you take a straw and you blow alongside of it, the water will curve towards that wind or that air that's blowing. And there's a great principle there that you can see in action. But this is a great understanding of science and an accurate representation of it. And when the wind calms down, then the seas calm down and the waves calm down. And in fact, in John chapter 6, there's an instance there in John chapter 6 where they were in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Capernaum, which is the Sea of Galilee. And they were heading across, and Jesus came, and it says in John 6:18, the sea arose, meaning the waves come up. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And, of course, there Jesus calmed the sea, which shows that Jesus Christ is God, because Psalm 107, verse 29 says, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And that is, I think, a great scientific truth that's in the Word of God, and it also indicates God's sovereignty over nature. So there, I guess that will go out with the wave there, Bruce.
Well, amen. Thank you for that report, and that's always good. You know, we were looking today and this week in the news, and it was talking about the division of the land of Israel. Maybe you could give a comment on that. You keep up on the news.
Yeah, in the past couple of weeks, it has just been astounding to watch what's happening on the international scene, and especially dealing with Israel, where at first there was an understanding that it seemed to have been reached where in the UN they were not going to bring forward this resolution basically condemning Israel and saying that, and outlawing any kind of settlements in territory that belongs to Israel, by the way, recognizing, you know, or at least setting the groundwork for recognizing a Palestinian state, which incidentally was created out of Jewish land back previously, because the Balfour Declaration at the beginning of the 20th century gave a homeland to the Jewish people in the Middle East that encompassed all of Israel and the West Bank and Jordan. And then, of course, they carved off about two-thirds to three-quarters of it to form a state for the Arab people living in that land that didn't want to be under the control of a Jewish, or under the flag of a Jewish state. And so they did a land for peace deal, and that was so successful that the Arab nations ended up attacking Israel several times. Well, so they already have done that, and now they want to carve out more. And President Obama, as an outgoing insult to Israel and a slap at incoming President Trump also, basically behind the scenes went around and behind everybody's back and and push through this thing in the Security Council with the understanding the United States would not veto it like we did back in September of 2015, I believe it was, and a similar resolution. And basically, if you're living in the West Bank or East Jerusalem and you're Jewish and you want to put a porch on the side of your house, you could be held as an international criminal for violating this UN resolution. And then, of course, we know that President Trump is going to come in January 20th, and he's promising things are going to be different. But the danger that we have is the Bible says that God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And in Joel chapter 3, the Bible says, starting in verse 1, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." And he's saying he's going to bring judgment on these people for parting God's land. Well, that land there where Israel is, that's God's land. And God gave it to the Jewish people. And he has a reason that he put the Jewish people there. He gave them that land. It's obviously God's land. He created it. He created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says. And he has a dim view of people who want to part his land. And, you know, when President George H.W. Bush, the first president to call for parting the land, did so back in the maybe Bruce, you know the year that took place, but he was in Paris at the time, and he called for parting the land, and there was a movie called The Perfect Storm that was patterned after a storm that was in the North Atlantic that suddenly, unprecedentedly, reversed course, came back 1,000 miles contrary to the way that these storms normally travel, and slammed into Kennebunkport, Maine, and destroyed President Bush's home. And that was a direct consequence, I believe, of him calling for the parting of the land. And to me, that puts President Obama and our nation in a very dangerous position. I'm just thankful that the majority of our political leaders are saying that he shouldn't have done this. But that land, passage there, God judged them, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, for parting his land.
That's so true. I read a book, and he gets 40 times. Every time the United States had made a statement about dividing up the land, we got hit with a major storm.
Oh, absolutely.
Finally, when we pushed the Israeli government to take their settlers out of Gaza, which is a disaster for them ever since, when the settlers moved out within 24 hours, we got hit with Katrina. 120,000 American homes were destroyed.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I remember hearing somebody say that as they were pulling the last Jewish settler out of the Gaza Strip is when the depression that became Katrina was forming, and the weather forecasters said at the time, "We don't think this is going to amount to much, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina."
Yeah. I mean, the Bible shows where God is active, and he is, well, he's quite alive today.
Mm-hmm.
And as the United States, they don't condemn North Korea, which has turned their country into leaders into hell on earth, and to all the countries where they're cutting off people's heads and stoning them and all that kind of stuff going on. That's not condemned, but Israel is condemned in the United Nations continuously, see? And what's going on is they're getting ready to actually cause an invasion of Israel, which the Bible predicts will happen. And when the world under the United Nations invades the mountains of Israel at that time, the Lord of heaven, Jehovah God, is going to show who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it will be the Lord Jesus Christ that will show up. It's already predicted. He left from the Mount of Olives, and it says in the book of Zechariah that the Lord himself will return, and his feet will stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which Jesus left from. He left bodily and physically from the Mount of Olives, and it says long before he even came the first time, he would return to the Mount of Olives. And at that day, as his feet step down and he's coming in power and great glory, he will at that point take over all the nations of the whole world. and what is called the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will take place in Jerusalem. That'll be his capital. That's what we call it. Jerusalem, D.C., Jerusalem, City of David, or Jerusalem, David's capital.
Right.
And so that's why all the news is taking place all the time about Israel and Jerusalem, because God is behind it, allowing it to take place, because he is getting the world's attention to it, because he's coming back there and rule over the planet from there. And that's just another sign, just another evidence.
Well,
thank you for that report again. And we're going to talk today about from the book of Hosea, chapter 7. And in this verse, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Israel was destroyed for what the Christians in America are even doing today and pastors are doing today. And here's what it says. Woe unto them, for they have from me destruction unto them. They have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And this is found in Hosea 12:13. They have cried unto me with their heart when they howled on their beds. They assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebelled against me. And so, first of all, they speak lies against them. Then they rebel against them. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. Now, they return not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bough. Their princes shall fall by the sword. Now, what's going on here is they rebel against the Lord, and they've spoken lies against the Lord. In the name of translations, they have rejected the Word of God. Now, I call them the chaos cult, which is taught in the Greek departments, which is corrupting evangelical Christianity. And the first thing the devil says out of his mouth is, "Yea, hath God said." And so these Greek departments are promoting the agenda of the devil. We're going to talk about that again today. And so the first thing the devil does then is he questions the Word of God. And that's what these departments do. Now, you go and a young man comes in and he starts to study Greek. And the first thing, he's shown a Greek translation. And it's compared to a King James Bible, but the translation does not line up with the King James. It shows the Greek text, and then it shows a translation of the Greek text, but it doesn't agree with the King James text, so the student is made to assume that the King James is wrong. He is not informed that the Greek text they're using is just a corrupt Greek text that he is using. And the next thing, he's given a Nestle's Greek text, which in these schools where they teach Greek, they never teach where they came from, and I know this because they didn't teach me in my Greek department when I was studying Greek and translating Greek and where the Greek text came from. And Nestle's Greek text, of course, was put out by the Jesuits. It's a fictitious, corrupt text. And so then they don't tell them where it came from, and they don't study in any depth the history of the text in most of these Greek departments. Then they don't teach that God preserved his words. The next thing. And so, once again, I remember one of the first places that I went to when I went to begin this study was a seminary that was at Winona Lake, Indiana. Went to the head of the Greek department. He gave me a paper. And in this paper, it states that God never said he would preserve his words. Now, I may have been taught that, but I never remembered anybody teaching me that. However, by that time, I had read the New Testament 100 times. As soon as I read that, where God never said he'd preserve his words, these verses just popped out of my head over and over and over, verse after verse. And I thought, wow, God did say he would preserve his words. And that was my introduction to the chaos cult of Bible corruptors. Now, recently, somebody just handed me an epistle. I don't know if it's 24, 28 pages long. I read it a couple times and found it very fascinating. And in this paper, it starts off and it says, "Bruce Musselman, who calls my name, And it says he wrote a book correcting the King James Bible back in about 1980. And then it states on there that on there I put a bibliography, and there's I put a couple of books there by a pastor from Florida named Peter Ruckman. And so in this thesis of this, and he goes through many books, he is trying to prove that I got my theology and my ideas from Dr. Peter Ruckman. I call this, he has a, he got bit by a bug called Ruckmanitis. And Brother David says when he's in school, somebody was reading about Girgashites and Amalekites, went to the professor, what's a Ruckmanite, you know? And so anyway, well, let me tell you that he had nothing to do with it whatsoever, although after I wrote the books, I gave it to some lady that I led to the Lord, and she went to the Bible Institute, and the book took off. But anyway, Dr. Ruckman wrote me a nice letter, and then Dr. Fuller also wrote me a letter, Defenders of the King James Bible. But in there, he talks like that this is some kind of a new doctrine that Ruckman made up. Well, I didn't get it from him. I got it strictly from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Bible, because the Bible says, thy words are true from the beginning. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried and the furnace of earth purified seven times. Whenever it talks about the Word of God, it talks more about that than it talks about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these verses point like a laser beam to the King James Bible. And so that book immediately, when it was given to her, somehow it got into the leading Baptist papers at that time, including the Baptist Bible Tribune. They were quoting out of this book, and they were printing copies of this book up, and then other papers were printing it. And shortly after that, the Baptist Bible Fellowship put out a resolution that they believed that the King James Bible was the preserved Word of God. They didn't get that from me. They didn't get that from Peter Ruckman. They got that from the Word of God, which they had already believed. I couldn't have convinced them. It was something that the leaders already had believed and already taught. Now, in this paper, he never mentions a pastor from Greenville, South Carolina, and this pastor, I remember, do you remember, Al, his name again? I forget his name right now.
Was that Harold Seitler?
Yes, Seitler. Well, anyway, he's a well-known pastor. His son became a medical doctor, and his son wrote a detailed book showing that Christians by the millions, and he quotes in this book, believe the King James Bible was the perfect Word of God, and they never even heard of Peter Ruckman. And so at that point, now where is this business about Peter Ruckman? Well, first of all, every Bible-believing group in, it seems like, ever existed, the people on the other side, since they were all men followers, they always would call him after the name of a man. For instance, I'll give you a Donatist. He was a pastor, and they called Bible believers after Donatus. And then another guy named Novatian, way back in the 2nd, 3rd century, 3rd and 4th century back there, he was a Bible believer, so they called their people after Novatian. Then there's Peter Waldo, so they called Bible believers after him. And then the Lollards, Walter Lollard, they can't call it after him. So where did this business start? Well, Bob Jones Jr., he was calling, talking about militant fundamentalists. Anybody that didn't go along with him is not a militant fundamentalist, and he was criticizing everybody at the time. And so Dr. Vick, who was the most respected Baptist preacher at the time, had Ruckman in his church and preaching there, as well as John Rawlings. And so when Vick died, Vick was the president of Baptist Bible College, grown to 2,000 students, only has about 200 now and at the time. And so when he died, Junior, who got these Bible infidels, Bible correctors, to come to his college and correct start to pervert young men going there, he went to Baptist Bible College, and he preached a sermon against Ruckmanism. And Ruckmanism meant anybody that believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. Well, Paul says, after the way that they call heresy, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all that is written in the law and the prophets. And believe me, there was millions of people who believe it, because the Bible teaches that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And God says, I'll honor my word above all my name. Obama used the King James Bible, what I just heard. George Washington kissed it. The King James Bible shows what he thought of it. Lincoln used it, and all of them at their inauguration. God has honored this one book more than any book that was ever written. If you got it, you got the words of God.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.